Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction here on Fightful.com. I am Jeremy Lambert, joined, as always, by the Chubby Chief, Joseph Holbert. Joseph, how are you?
You seem to consider my nickname there for a moment. There was a pause, a momentary sort of caution.
I had one in my head before we started, and it escaped me. And so I was like, let me just go with what's on the screen.
Okay. Well, I'm very nervous about this show. Jeremy, and it's not because it's live, because we're veterans now, we know live.
Yes.
But I'm concerned about your branding of this program. I'm concerned about the way you've promoted it with certain topics that we're apparently going to talk about today. The thumbnail is very alarming. Very, very alarming for me.
Layers. Hashtag layers on the thumbnail.
Indeed. So I'm nervous, I'm anxious, but I will willingly march forward for now. That's what I'm going to say, for now.
Guys, we appreciate everybody joining us today here on YouTube.com/Fightful. Hit subscribe, leave a thumbs up, tap the bell for notifications. Subscribe to Fightful Select. Always dropping news there. $5 a month gets you a bunch of news, gets you features, gets you extra podcasts with Alex Pawlowski and Steven Jensen on the Weekender. It gets you a bunch of stuff. Soon, it'll get you our retro reviews. I think we're on the $5 tier. We might actually be big enough stars where we're on the $10 tier. So you might have to go $10 to pay for our retro reviews.
Sources say that we will have our own tier of $50. That's what I've heard. I could be wrong. It's going to be like the network's tiered system that's coming in a couple of years' time. And we are like their equivalent, like Progress Wrestling, I think.
Wait, we're progress? No, we're bigger. We're bigger stars than just dumping random indie events on the weekends.
Do you remember when the idea was that, like, there was this rumor Triple H was like, "Don't worry, Brody, we're going to get New Japan for you. We'll buy it, just so you can work there, okay?" We're that possibility. Sean has finally acquired New Japan Pro Wrestling, folks. Here we are.
That's the landscape shifting announcement.
That's it. That was it. They was going to announce it. That was like, is it worth running a Fightful Select ad on AEW Dynamite? And Tony, just the last minute, he put a halt to it. Disgraceful.
Leave a super chat in the chat if you're on YouTube. Get your question, comment, statement read on air. That is the best way to support us and this show and everything we do. We really appreciate that. A lot to talk about today, mainly basketball. I don't want to talk about wrestling. We're talking about basketball today. Before we get into any of that, we're going to switch the format up. Usually we save our retro match review for the end of the show. But Joseph, we reviewed a reverse battle royal for this show. So we're going to do a reverse format and do the retro match review first.
You're very, very proud of this, aren't you? This bit is very near and dear to your heart.
I'm proud of legitimately every bit that I come up with.
Fair. At this point, you're the man who came up with the Sting deal on podcasting format. So, you need to, you know.
It's the highest rated podcast in Fightful history, I'm pretty sure.
Episodic podcast history. Anyway, this match sucked. It really did. And I did want to get this out of the way because I mentioned this to you via text. From my research, this is not the first reverse battle royal.
Yes.
I believe Abyss won the first one in 2006, but this is the famous one, I feel, because it was on Bound for Glory, which, for anyone that doesn't know, is in fact TNA or now Impact Wrestling's like WrestleMania,
yes.
Basically. Right? I will quickly try to explain this format, Jeremy, and then I'll pass it all to you, and you can, you know, make it what you will. So, everyone is outside the ring, and then it's a race to get inside the ring, reverse Battle Royal.
Correct.
Right? Then when 8 people get in the ring, they do a battle royal match until 2 people are left, and then they do a one-on-one wrestling match.
Correct.
What are they fighting for, you ask? Oh, very simple. The 8 guys that get in the ring are then battling for seeding in a tournament. So in this case, I'm going to spoil the finish, sorry guys. Eric Young wins the tournament, James Storm is out first, so then your 1-8 seed is Eric Young and I'm sure James Storm was like, oh, what a devastating blow to be the 8 seed here. This is like just insanity for the sake of it, isn't it? It's chaos.
This is, and they explain these rules 500 times during this match. I'm not sure they say anything regarding the match outside of the rules. Like, maybe they call a spot or two. They're like, oh, flux capacitor, that looked cool. Oh, that Rikishi's ass, that looked cool. Otherwise, it's just them explaining the rules the entire time. The seating is very important, Joseph. They start freaking out because Alex Shelley... let's tell the story. You were like, how can I watch this show without signing up for Impact Plus? By the way, everybody sign up for Impact Plus. And I was like, I don't know. Yeah, I just gotta find it. I have an Impact Plus subscription, Joseph, like a professional. And you're like, I have the DVD of this show.
I don't know why, but there's some, I mean, there's some good stuff on here, right? You've got the, what's on here? Samoa Joe and Christian Cage was good, I believe. From what I remember, I don't know. Who cares? Right, here he is, folks. This was the program in which Kurt Angle like lost his mind and started like stalking Sting and stuff.
That was the program Kurt Angle lost his mind.
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
Was it talking about Bibles?
Yes, and this was also the match where the spot was like Kurt swings the baseball bat, Sting catches it and fires up, and he just goes straight through Sting's hands and hits him directly in the face. Do you remember?
Yes, I remember
hits him square in the face with a baseball bat. But none other than that, it's a fine show, I'm sure.
AEW superstar Sting. In this match.
Stang. Which of these names, as they made their way out to that generic rock music kind of, when there was just announced, Penza was doing the board voice announcing them, which of these names excited you most to see them in this setting? Genuinely, I have interest.
Rikishi, honestly. It was Rikishi. And he got in the ring first, right? Because they were just like, let him go. Because you've got to get over the top rope to get into the ring. And that was most difficult for Rikishi.
I mean, you say that, but some of these guys turned it into like a real challenge, didn't they? Go ahead.
The concept itself is just absolutely absurd of get into the ring. You have guys just like literally Lance Hoyt is just out there like chilling on the outside. James Storm is like in the corner hiding from getting in the ring.
What? His game plan is horrific. Like, he waits until he's 7 in, and then he's like, now it's my time.
Yeah.
Like, okay, sure, then, whatever. You mentioned Lance Hoyt, obviously now the, what's the name? The
Murder Hawk. Monster.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is incredible to see him here, isn't it? Because he is, for all of his sort of size and athleticism, he is effectively one half of, like, a job guy tag team, which is very strange in hindsight. But here he is. Okay, as you said, so they're brawling, and the choice is effectively simple. Until it's your turn to either get in or the match is over for you, you are going to look like an idiot regardless. You either can look like an idiot on the floor, where you're literally looking for people to fight with rather than get in the ring, or you can do the more risky play of getting on the apron and praying that someone is going to cut you off in time. Because what happens over and over is, including the flux capacitor spot that you mentioned with Kaz and Rude, guys decide they have to like climb the top rope to get in. Was that the rule?
Yeah.
Or like, what was the idea here? They could have just got over, right?
Right. Lance Hoyt enters that way. You know, you just kind of propel yourself over, jump over. But no, everyone else felt they need to go to the top rope to jump in to get into the ring, and I have no idea why.
They were doing like the ladder match spot where like you know the slow climb. They were doing that up the turnbuckle. It was incredible slide.
I wanted, you know what spot they should have done? They kind of did it, but Lance Hoyt has Eric Young with the Gorilla Press slam, and Eric Young fall. They should have done that, but on the outside, where Hoyt Gorilla pressed someone like into the ring.
I mean, that was an incredible spot though in itself, because the idea was that Eric is such a like sort of bumbling fool that he fell into the ring,
right?
Like he got lucky. And Don Westcott was, what a reversal from Eric Young. He's in the match. Just completely misunderstood it. There you go. You mentioned that moment. There's a point where Lance and Sanjay are literally walking past each other, looking for people to fight.
Yes.
They have to go. It's a mess. But unfortunately, as we've spoken about off air, is like it's underwhelming for comedic value, isn't it? Like it ends very quickly. The battle royal portion, the reverse battle royal portion. You have the bit where Storm beats Harrison. And it's like, oh, that was it? Like, it's not as offensively bad as I hoped it would be. It's just sort of dumb. Very dumb. They're not like, oh my god, this is hilarious, you know?
And then the actual Battle Royal isn't bad. Like, there's some cohesion there. There's some nice spots and stuff. My biggest takeaway from all of this is, like, outside of Rikishi, all these guys are still active. And some of them are still in, like, prominent spots.
Yes. It is also interesting to track this audience's reaction to it all, right? Because they have great fun with this match.
Yes.
The only guy they're, like, not sure about is Rikishi, because for obvious reasons, like, it's the most cliche, what are we doing signing these guys deal. But this is definitely still a time where the TNA audience was like, this is the real wrestling promotion. They have excitement about this awful stuff. I mean, it's fun. It's fun for me seeing some. I mean, the Morrissey Machine Guns at this time are, like, on a different level, right? Like, this, I know that a million people have said this, but they really did set, like, the, they set the blueprint almost, right? Sorry, Matt Morgan, the blueprint. And, you know, the Young Bucks kind of have taken it and that everyone does their thing since, but their tandem offense at that time was spectacular. It is here, right?
Yeah, even in this reverse Battle Royal, they do, like, a death lock and then octopus spot, like, together, yes. which looks really good.
Yeah. Rikishi does stuff, and then him and Eric Young, like, do a comedy spot where Eric Young, like, slaps his ass, and Don West, he chuckles and he says, it looks like his ass is fun to play with. And Mike Tenay explodes. He cannot fathom the ridiculousness of this statement. As he watches a reverse Battle Royal, he has now hit breaking point because Don West suggested that Rikishi's ass was fun to play with. And that's, he never recovers from that. And then the match just keeps going. They do the big man elimination on Rikishi, right?
Do you think Eric Young got advice from Billy Gunn on how to play with asses before this spot with Rikishi? Because Billy Gunn is in this match.
From what I could gather, Eric did not like to push them or prod them. He just sort of liked to sort of...
like to slap them a little. Like to slap the cheeks.
Yeah, exactly, Don. Billy Gunn, by the way, looks exactly the same. That's not changed.
Billy Gunn has not aged in 14 years, 13 years, yes, whatever this is.
And that is amazing because at this time, I'd imagine Austin was legitimately like 8 years of age. So there you go, folks. And then, you know, it comes out to Shelley, Young and Rude. The people seemingly want Shelley to win because they know that the Motor City Machine Guns are awesome. No fun to be had there. Then it just gets to EY and Rude. They have a match. Young rolls him up and secures the one seed. Eruption in the building
big,
for this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big victory to get the one seed.
Well, I mean, I agree with your point, your central point of this match, like, AEW Battle Royals are not as cohesive as this match.
No.
This was well-agented. The actual Battle Royal.
Yeah.
The issue was all of the filth that came before it, you know? It was honestly, like, if I was watching the show for the first time, I wouldn't have been like, oh my god, this is the worst pay-per-view ever because of that match. It's fine, really, right? In the grand scheme of things.
Here's why this match is actually revolutionary and people should copy it and bring it back, all right? Because Battle Royals, the issue with them is, you imagine if this match started with just 16 men in the ring. We'd probably be like, oh, this kind of sucks. At least the first half of it, as guys do their usual, let's toss them over the top, you know, hold on kind of spot. Guys just getting tossed left and right. Once you get down to 8 men, it's a great Battle Royal. So it should be start out the ring first off, and then just get the guys you need in the ring and then do the Battle Royal instead of having all the dead stuff to start with.
I mean, if we didn't have to watch the first part, then yeah, we still have to watch the first part. So, sure, I mean, it's fine with me. I mean, here's the thing that's interesting about this time. As this match ends, and then we do a hard cut to Pac-Man Jones, who is being announced, he's had this incredible impact on TNA, and then, you know, R-Truth, Ron Killings, is like, not wrestling tonight, cannot wrestle. So there's that. And I'm sitting there watching this, and it brought me back to, I think it was Bischoff, that around a month or so ago was like, at TNA's best, it was better than AEW. And, like, I think both of us are pretty fond of TNA. Like, you know, the sort of glory days of TNA. Like, I'm not sure that's true, man. Like, even at TNA's best, it had absolute insanity like this taking place. When was TNA's best?
Yeah, I was going to say, when was TNA's best? With, like, when the X Division was just firing with the AJ Joe Daniels stuff?
Mm.
Was that probably the best?
Then on top you have...
Yeah, on top is all the Jarrett, right? Stuff, and that's the issue.
I don't know, like, to me, I'm not sure they ever produced a product that was like, I mean, AEW has a lot of flaws, but it's generally sort of, there's an audience for most of it. There is some stuff on some of these TNA shows that is just like mind-numbingly bad, and I say that as someone who likes it. It just is. I don't know.
What's our match for next week, Joseph?
Good match. Good match alert. We're doing a good match next week.
Oh, that's lame.
We head to Clash of Champions 17, November 19th, 1991. You know I'm always date. The date's always a big thing for me, Jeremy. You know that. That's next week. We are doing Arn Anderson and the Cruncher, the best nickname in the history of wrestling, Larry Zbysko, as they take on the team of Dustin Rhodes. And I would say a mystery opponent, but like you're watching it on the network, so it'll tell you. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. It's a classic match. It's not long. And, you know, all the people that said FTR are the best tag team in the history of Earth can watch that and enjoy it, I guess, and see where it all came from.
Does Dustin Rhodes do a Code Red in this match?
Probably not.
No.
But it is... I did have him in mind when I picked it because he looked absurd. On Dynamite, he legitimately looked like a 25-year-old man. It was terrifying. His arms, he looked shredded, right? I've never looked like the Dustin Rhodes does at 50. He's incredible, so... He's in there. Arn doesn't look so good, God bless him, but they're all in there. They'll be having fun next week. That's the match.
All right. That's the match for next week. Let's get into what's currently going on in wrestling, which is really just basketball. Let's talk about the Russell Westbrook trade.
Okay.
No, we're going to leave that. We'll leave all the basketball talk to the end. Let's talk about Pac coming back. That was the big landscape shifting announcement thingamajig that Tony Khan hyped up. He's back. He's coming to kill Eddie Kingston. I know you're excited about this, Joseph. You love the Pack. You love Eddie Kingston. Do you like? I just assume you like all the Brit. Actually, you hate all the British people. Like you're against every one of them. So I don't know why I assume that.
Yes, I'm going to pull back the curtain here. Our good friend, the original Death Dealer, he sent us a show suggestion in which we like. We'll probably do it at some point as a special. I feel, but. He was like, you know, you pick a wrestler from every state, and then you pick, like, two from England, or two from Britain, two from Japan, like, build a fantasy roster, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I'm legitimately looking at this, sitting here in England, like, geez, man, who are those Englishmen going to be? I'm like, you lock Riddle in. Who else? Not Riddle. Jesus, not Riddle. Regal. Good Lord. Definitely not Riddle. Regal can go in, and then I'm sort of looking around at the scene, trying to get through allegations. So, anyway, back to this. I could put my notes down and my TNA pay-per-view DVD down. I am excited for it. I mean, I don't think it shifts the balance of the world, as was suggested by a friend Tony.
Not the world, just wrestling.
Earth.
Just wrestling.
I believe the exact words were, the world will never be the same again, if it was the exact words, from what I got.
That was the promo for Glacier, not for the return of Pac.
Yeah. It's how much can one man whine about Pac versus Pentagon or Pac versus Eddie for Eddie Kingston? Like, really? Are we really going to whine about this? Like, it's good stuff. In the AEW world, look, the whole thing's dumb, okay, Dre? Because in the AEW world, he is a big deal. So if you're one of the people that was like, LOL 205 Live, you're a clown, you're being a bit unfair. But on the other hand, if you're telling me that you fell down out of your chair, hit your head on the wall, because Pac, who cut a promo last week, is back, I mean, I don't believe either of them. Right, like it's in the middle. The truth is in the middle. It's cool to see him back. He's an awesome wrestler who have a great program with Kingston. Like, what else is there to say? I kind of was amazed the takes people got out of this, aren't you? It's
well, the takes people got out of it is because Tony Khan is a wrestling promoter, and he just went full hyperbole on this. If Tony Khan just does, you know, like, we got a great show, we got a nice surprise at the end, you know, make sure you watch the whole thing, it'd be great. What, by the way, why is he like going out in front of the live crowd and being like, hey guys, make sure you stick around to the end of this show, you just don't want to miss this? Like, is the live crowd just gonna like leave in the middle of the main event? Like, nah, I'm out in the middle of this Pentagon and Phoenix match, I'm tired of watching these two guys have a great match, I'm leaving. But then Tony Khan has said, oh, I gotta stick around though. Can't miss what's actually gonna happen. Like, what is he doing here with this?
It is awesome because we're in the middle of a pandemic and it's like raining. Yeah. It's November. But these people are sitting there and he's like, listen, don't go home after that Red Velvet match, okay? We've got a big one for you. The thing is, like, when it was Eddie, it was obviously gonna be Pac.
Yes.
Like, who was still expecting like Bill Goldberg to walk out when it was Eddie Kingston in it? The only question was, is it going to be Pac, like, assassinating Eddie and reclaiming his, what they call the Death Triangle?
Yeah.
Or what we got, which was kind of interesting, right, where Eddie fully took a side. He's always said Penta was his best friend. Like, I get the thing with Eddie is like, I understand, because he's one of their best heels. So really, he only needs to come out and just be like, don't chant my name, I know it. And it's like, okay, fine, he's done it. So the match will be awesome, though, I feel. So I'm excited about it.
We got a super chat from Jabber JJ. Says, here to support the stars, that's us. I was watching both WWE and TNA overall product. I was more into TNA despite the nonsense. Always remember Joe's random girlfriend. You had a random girlfriend, Joseph?
Well, on Spike TV.
Yeah.
That was an interesting time. Wait, was that... Is he talking about the interviewer that he would be, like, friendly with?
I don't know. I thought he was talking about you.
No.
Oh.
I think he's talking about the lady that Scott Stein would be mean to.
Oh.
I don't know. It
I thought you had a random girlfriend on Spike TV.
No, I don't think so. Russo never gave me that angle. I understand. When I say that about TNA, I'm not trying to discount what they did, because I think a lot of people agree they were the more fun show to watch. I'm just saying, like, better is a hard term for me to sort of get on board with, right? Like, you enjoyed it more. I get that, because they had, like, star power, and it wasn't just guys that were mad. You had Sting and Kurt Angle as a main event. Like, it's a wild time. But there was a lot of Pac-Man Jones and stuff, so... It is what it is.
Pac-Man Jones is, like, actually good, though, from what I've been told.
Well, I mean, that, if better was subjective, then actually good Pac-Man Jones is probably one of the most subjective things you'll ever say. So, that's fine. The AEW was very interesting this week, Jeremy, because as I quoted in my report card that you can read at my website, this name I forget.
And Wrestling with Takes?
Wrestling with Takes, yes. Yeah. It was effectively the Full Gear bonus tracks, wasn't it? It was the guys who didn't get the Full Gear spotlight, but had angles going on in the background. And, you know, the Bunkhouse match easily could have been on a pay-per-view if it wasn't already 3.5 hours long. The same deal for... what was
Scorpio
the other
and
on?
Spears.
Yeah, Scorpio and Spears. And the main event, of course, it's kind of an angle. I mean, they'd been doing it, but like they ramped it up pretty quickly, didn't they, last night?
Yeah.
So it was one of those shows where if somehow you still doubt their depth... I mean, that one kind of proved you wrong, right? There's a lot of talent they have there. The question is, will always be, are they using it correctly? I think for the most part, they're doing a pretty good job. I think they need to be careful at times with the, like, post-pay-per-view, we now reset everything and are a new promotion. Like, I don't know if you need to do that. You know when Cody came out and he was like, you know, talking about MJF and he did the deal, which we're not going to get into, and all that stuff, it's like, it almost feels like it's a new show now. And I think they want that to be the case. But I just think you have to be careful. You know, you need to make these pay-per-views feel like they have consequences that last for a long time. That's one thing I would say.
Reminder, guys, you can get your super chat in, get your question, comment, statement read on the air. As far as the post-show, it definitely... You're right that it was, like, bonus tracks. Because, like, they had highlight videos for Full Gear and everything. Moxley and Hangman... Or not Hangman. Omega cut promos. And then Cody had his promo. But otherwise, like, you didn't have much... like, from Full Gear of those guys actually being on the show. Like, you had some promos from guys, but it didn't feel like anything of what the fallout from Full Gear, I guess is what I'm trying to say there. It did feel like, hey, everything that we just couldn't fit on Full Gear, we're just going to put on this Dynamite. And it was a good show. Now, you know, how is that stuff going to fit in? Because you still got to do all this Cody stuff. You still got to do this Omega stuff and Bucks and everything. I don't know what the Bucks are doing next. Now you've got to keep just fitting these pieces in there on week to week. This is a problem we've talked about many times. They have so much talent and only have 2 hours of television to where just things just aren't going to make the television product.
Yeah, it actually reminded me of... Remember way back when in the days where people liked NXT? Where they would do a takeover and they would tape like matches before and then the following TV would be video packages and then matches.
Yeah.
It wasn't that, but like there was an element of that with the video packages, right? It was like it had been taped before and they were trying to protect their own results. So it's just interesting to me. I love the show, so I have no complaints. But your point is definitely correct. I think we're seeing, and this sounds like an absolutely, you know, a ridiculous thing after what we just said, but I do think there's an element of like, Tony's, you know, Tony and the powers that be, all 100 of the executive vice presidents, they do seem increasingly, like, borderline ruthless with the TV time, though. And what I mean by that is, as much as it's frustrating when the women's division gets cut and stuff, like, they have now shown, like, a willingness to just be like, yeah, we're going to do a one-minute match. They didn't last night because it was a good match. But when you look at Miro, Like, they're not just giving Miro TV time, right? Yeah. Like, they're just like, it's, they don't seem like they're into it to me. They seem to view it as a low, like a low on the card, similar to what, you know, the Butcher and Blade stuff was. Like, it's just happening. And they're not going to force that. I mean, Eddie Kingston, since he's got there, has legitimately cut a promo on, like, every TV. Like, would that happen if they were trying to share it around? Probably not. I think it's a good sign that when they did this show, they did it with guys that belonged here, you know? I mean, by the way, I did mention it. Pleasant surprise, that female match, right? Tay Conti and Red Velvet. Like, I was alarmed by that matchup on paper, because that, and that's ignorance on my part, I apologise, but they had a genuinely good match, and it got some decent time, so that was good stuff, that was a good sign.
It was, and maybe they actually do something with the women's division moving forward.
That's what I carried away.
Was Sheeta on the show at all? Did they even show, like, a Sheeta, no. Nyla video package? They did the big angle with Nyla and Vicky. I get the one they did an angle. I don't know if I call it big. They did the angle with Nyla and Vicky, and then just no mention of them at all. This, it was a good match, but again, just give me something to sink my teeth into with this women's division.
Brit, dude. Like, I don't know what
Well, she's the DDT metal heavyweight champion now or whatever. They're a little gimmick.
Well, okay. here's what I would shoot for. A December Dynamite should be main evented by Britt and Sheeta. And you should do
December 2nd. I think you do that on December 2nd.
No, absolutely not that one. they've never main evented Dynamite. If there's a match I trust to do it, it would be Britt and Sheeta. They had a really good match in the... you know those very odd pandemic shows?
Yeah, the early... where Britt got her face busted.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. So that's the one I would go for. The only issue would be if Kenny's winning it at Dynamite, then that would kind of, like, take the shine away a little bit, right? But Sheeta's great. I just... It seems clear to me that they don't know what to do with her as champ. It's actually... I mean, you know, in fear of being, like, overly... You know, categorizing folks, it's very similar to how Asuka feels on Raw, right? It is. Like, it's that deal of, like, they know that she's great. They have nothing to do with her, though, as a character.
All they got to do is show video game footage of Asuka beating up Randy Orton, and everything will be fine.
Yes, and it's this weird deal where it's, like, with both of them, it seems so obvious to me that you just have them as, like, the ace. But in their mind, it's like, why would we do that when we could do this angle with Anna Jay? It's like, why would we do that when we could do the Lana table stuff? I don't know. Like, I don't know what the deal is. But it is interesting to me, the parallels there with just the absolute just non-effort in featuring their women's champs. It's weird.
We got a super chat from Taxel who says, nothing gets me to forget wrestling is a work quicker than mask removing. Eddie is coming across as a great heel. Excited to see where this goes. Yeah, what do you think of the mask removal in Phoenix and Pentagon?
Whenever they do the deal, you know, I'm not a big lucha guy. Whenever they do the deal where the mask is, like, still on, but shouldn't be, it reminds me of Eddie and Ray from Havoc all those years. But it's just what I think of. And that's what I always will go to, especially with Phoenix, right? So, I mean, I can't compliment Tony Schiavone enough for, like, hitting the gear necessary to do that stuff with Eddie. Because someone needed to do it, right? I mean, Kingston's going to be there regardless. You've got to match him in some way. And Tony seemed genuinely devastated at what he was watching. It was awesome stuff. I loved that match. I mean, their first match was great in the sense that they did the deal where it was like, it was an athletic showcase that became heated because, you know, brother versus brother. This was like Penta had been sent out there to kill him, right? It was brutal. So I loved it. And Eddie on commentary with Tony just like nailed that. So I agree with the point that for all of my whining, Eddie's just a really good heel. So, like, if that's what you want to do, sure, I'm in with that too.
Do you have anything else on Eddie and Pac? This is your bit. I don't care about it.
Wow.
I don't care about wrestling. I'm here for the basketball talk.
Okay, it's fine. I am just intrigued as to what the match looks like. I'm interested how it comes out. I think it could be very, very fun. So I look forward to it. That's all of my optimistic wrestling talk for this week, Jeremy. I apologize.
Let's get into the other big happening on AEW Dynamite. Shaq is coming to AEW. He hinted at this. He re-signed with Turner in, like, August. And in the big press release, it's like, Shaq's going to do all this stuff. And it said AEW, and he mentioned that he wanted to face Cody. And now it looks like it's coming. The way they set this up was... They didn't set this up. Cody just got interrupted by Jade Cargill, who was like, you've awoken a sleeping giant. And then she said, the sleeping giant is Shaq. And I guess we're getting Cody and Shaq.
This isn't really for us. I know you're going to say it is because basketball, yay, Joe. But, like, seriously, it's a publicity play. It will do some awesome, like, Twitter memes as Shaq gets in there and, like, does whatever he's going to do. It will be funny. Do I care about it in any way, shape, or form? Absolutely not.
It How does dare you?
I'm sorry, man. I just, like, and it isn't an AEW thing. Isn't you? If you watch this show, you probably know. I just don't care about these things generally. So, do I have any faith in Shaq putting effort into this? I could not have less. I could not have less faith in him doing that, but I'm sure he'll have fun. So
who is the babyface and who is the heel in this?
Hang on a second. What year is it, Jeremy Lambert? We're not allowed babyface and heels.
Oh, true.
Shades of grey.
Okay, who is the darker shade of grey and who is the lighter shade of grey?
Well, I mean, it's pretty close. I would say that Shaq is leaning towards the antagonist side. I would say he's darker in this case because it did appear that our friend Jade Cargill was the villain here. I would never say heel in 2020 because that would make me terribly outdated, but I would say she was almost a villain. So I would say Shaq is going to come in as a monster heel, and he's definitely not losing. So I assume it will be a mixed tag, and Jade will lose to Brandy. So, good luck. Well, Jade will beat Brandy, probably, right? Is that what we do? I don't know, Jeremy. You do. I don't know. What do you want from me?
Brandy ain't losing, pal. Sorry. Ain't happening.
She's got much more chance of losing than Shaq has or Cody has.
What are you talking about? Shaq has no problem doing the job. Did you see his last years in the Celtics? He doesn't care.
Listen, man. Shaq got upset that Dwight won a ring as, like, the eighth most important guy. He, like, just got enraged about it. He's not coming to a professional wrestling match and losing to a man with a funny neck tattoo. No way, no how. Not happening anytime soon.
Do you think Cody will put over Shaq and then they can build towards the big Shaq and Jericho match?
By the way, you've got to respect me sitting here and being like, you know, for all of its flaws, AEW is a competent promotion. They would never do something as silly as the stuff TNA does. Cut to us discussing Shaq and Jade Cargill versus Brandy and Cody. There it is, folks. There it is. I'm sorry, Vince. Russo, that is. It'll be fun. It'll get some... I mean, I just hope it isn't as embarrassing as the Tyson promo, which was like... That went, like, viral from how embarrassing it was. Don't do that. Please, Shaq. Try not to make a fool of him to that degree. But he may. He's probably
going to. He's going to. He's going to. Do you think...
Go ahead.
Do you think we get a Cody appearance on Inside the NBA? He just comes in, like, crashes the set. Barkley's like, who the hell is this guy? And Ernie's trying to keep it together and everything.
Yes, that would be awesome. I can't stress to you how much more I'd be into this if it was Barkley. It would just be so much funnier to me. Like, the idea of it is fine. Because the thing with Shaq is, like, he's such a brand. Like, he did the deal with Mania, right? He was in the Battle Royal that time. Like, I feel like I know what he's going to do, but, like, imagine Charles just trying to be a professional wrestler at this point in his life. Like, what a fault that is. I'd rather that. So, can we do that instead, Jeremy? Any chance?
No. Barkley will make a fool out of himself. He will do it in a respectful way on a golf course, not in a wrestling ring.
Respectful is a strong word for what he does on a golf course, but, yeah, you're right. I don't know. I mean, does anyone... Here's my actual question, okay? And this is not a criticism, because it will do those, like, weird Facebook, oh my god, Shaq. But of the 700,000 people that watch AEW Dynamite, what percentage of them gives a single shit about Shaq? Like, honestly, I'm asking. Because they're in the bubble, like I am, right?
Yeah, I think it's a lot in the bubble. I don't think anyone really... But, you know, it's not for those people.
Exactly, right, yeah.
This is the argument with WWE, is like, oh, why is WWE... bringing in Pat McAfee, who's awesome, but it's like, it's
hang
not
on, hang on 1 second. I know you're a big Pat McAfee. He's not Shaq. Like, Shaq is, like, actually famous, right? Let's be fair.
Pat McAfee has his own show. He so was in the NFL.
We weren't in the NFL, but we were on Fightful.com. I mean, look, I haven't got an issue with Pat McAfee. What I'm saying is, at least in this particular case, there's two people that generally dislike this stuff. He is, like, actually famous, right? Like, yes. You can just say Shaq, and everyone's like, oh, Shaq. The question is, how much of an impact it makes, I have no clue. But I guess any kind of name sort of value you can get, you do it, right?
I don't think it makes any impact. It's going to be... I mean, maybe people tune in. Maybe people tune in out of like curiosity, and then they're like, oh, it's still professional wrestling at the end of the day. Like, we saw Shaq, ha ha ha, it was fun, you know, he did this thing, what's that thing on Cody's neck, who's this guy, never heard of him, and then they're never watching again. That's how it typically works. If they really want viewers, they'll book this Ricky Starks match against us that we've been building for months now, but they're cowards and they won't actually do that.
Against you. I'm pro Ricky Starks. I'm in Ricky Starks' corner for that match. Brian Cage is in your corner.
Oh my!
Leave that on there, Pedro. Let's leave that. Let's move on. Ricky Starks threatened murder on Dynamite last night. Did you see that, Jeremy?
He was talking about
putting people in the grave.
I see everything Ricky Starks does. People tweet me about Ricky Starks, what he does. I was like, I don't care. He's tweeting me. He's always we were talking about Knucklehead. And Ricky's like, what's going on? What are you doing? I was like, I'm watching Big Show shit himself, Ricky, because I'm a professional. You want to watch Big Show? I understand you got all this money and you can't afford socks, but I'm over here for the working man watching Big Show shit himself. Why don't you do that, Ricky, instead of talking about killing people?
That's fair. You know what? You've won me over. I may be on your side after all. I'm not sure. It's a heated conflict. It's too heated for AEW Dynamite, though. You need to get a new promotion for this thing. This needs to be at the Power Podium in the Corgan land. It needs to be. There you go. Anything else on Dynamite, Jeremy?
I don't think so. Do you have anything?
Dynamite. Kenny Omega got a good promo. If I wanted to dwell on that, I would speak more about it, but I don't, so I'm just going to leave it there.
Justin Lopez says, I don't think it'll be a singles, though. I think it'll be some type of mixed tag after the events of last night. Yeah, that's what Joseph said. It's going to be Cody and Brandy against Jade and
Listen,
Shaq.
Listen, brother, if you want to protect Shaq, you got to put him in there with two experienced hands. You got to have two strong female workers that can carry the load, brother.
Brandy's the best worker in that match. I don't know what you're talking about.
She's good at... She's very good worker. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that whole deal, but... Cody, that segment sucked, okay, that's what I'd say. It was what it was, but Shaq's coming, that's fun. Yay, Shaq.
Anything from WWE you want to talk about? Does anything happen in that promotion?
It's because Jeremy, I don't watch NXT before the podcast, so I literally can't talk about it. I have no idea what happened, okay? No one talks about my timeline. They're all blocked, they're all muted, I don't know. But by the time we do this podcast, SmackDown could have been the best show ever, and I do not remember it. And Raw is never a good show. And when it's good, like, I think the Randy Orton stuff is actually good. But it isn't like, oh my god, we need to tackle the Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre stuff. Like, we've done it. It's finished. So, I guess the one thing is, like, Randy's keeping his belt, right? And it'll be a no finish because they've told us a million times not to expect finishes in these matches, right?
I think they might switch it. They love to do this switch before Survivor Series.
But why even do the original switch?
To give Randy more title wins so we could get up to 16. It's all about accolades, pal. Stacking accolades.
I did appreciate the scoop that was like, rumors say WWE is headed towards a Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre triple threat. As well. Rumors say that, yeah? Okay. I mean, I watched Raw. I was also thinking they'd do that, but whatever, you know.
Oh, some people don't watch Raw, Joseph. Some people just don't. And so if you just put it out there as rumors, it'd be like, oh, man. All right, that's interesting.
I think it's like, I don't agree with the assertion that it's like, WCW 2000 bad, bro. It's like, it's the opposite. Like, it's just a nothing. It's just an absolute, like, you can tune in, you can't. You'll find out what happens within 5 minutes. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. If you're for some reason on Monday night, and you don't cover it for Fightful.com thinking, what should I do for 3 hours on Monday nights? Raw is always going to be there, okay? I assume. So it'll be there, it won't be, whatever. Have fun. Randy Orton's the champ again. Miz is Money in the Bank again. Alexa Bliss does funny faces. Nikki Cross is upset. Yeah, yeah, exactly. When are they going to just do the Nikki Cross match, by the way?
Never. I don't think... By the way, Bray Wyatt... This man is just a genius. Just an absolute genius. He doesn't even have to appear on the shows anymore. He just has Alexa doing all the work for him. First, he just stopped wrestling. He had to do his funny vignettes and everything. Didn't have to wrestle at all. Now, he has outsourced his work to Alexa Bliss, so he didn't have to show up to the venue.
I sincerely hope that he's okay health-wise after this bit that we've been doing. But yes, I hope he's okay. Because if he's not on Raw next week, I mean,
we know what's going on. Join Asuka.
I don't know what it is, but, and this is completely unfair, Mr. Bray Wyatt, so please don't get mad at me. Bray Wyatt, the personality, does strike me as a guy that would have a few conspiracy theories for you if you asked him about the current situation. So, hope he's well. I hope that they do the Alexa Nikki thing at some point within the next year so we can, like, just move on. I know you don't, but I'm going to bring it up. How fun was the Bella Twins Bucks conversation yesterday on Twitter?
We can do this because we do have Bucks and FTR to talk about.
Oh, yes, Boston. Do your bit. Go on.
No, because that's going to transition into the end of the show with all the NBA talk. So let's do Bella's and Bucks. How did this even start? Like, I just saw it dominating my timeline. I had no idea what, like, actually happened with this. I know the Bella Twins said, oh, we got one more run in us, and, you know, we'll see if that ever happens. They've been saying this, by the way, for, like, a year. Like, pretty much ever since the tag team titles became a thing. Do you know that's a thing? The women's tag team titles? I don't know if you heard about these, Joseph.
I retired. But,
yeah. You used to be the brand ambassador. What was your official title?
I don't know. It was good though, and you did a big statement for when I retired, when I stepped down from the panel, so to speak. Yeah, tough times.
Yeah, so they've been saying this for like a year, but every time they say it, it's just gotta write about it. And then all of a sudden, I think like one person just tweeted like Bella's greater than like 300 greater than symbols, Young Bucks, and then of course wrestling Twitter just has to be like, bro, what are you talking about? Huh? This take is just garbage. And then it became this big thing. It's like, what are we doing here?
Here's the thing that made it interesting. That was not the reaction I saw. Like, people did the thing where it was like, what are you talking about? But there was a point where everyone was just in agreement that the Young Bucks are worse than the Bella Twins. And I was like, I didn't know what was going on. Here's the thing, okay? If we're actually being as serious as you can be about such a ridiculous topic. Like, there is a criteria we could draw up where the Bella Twins are better, right? Like, if you just talk purely, if you're going to go with wrestling in the way of, like, who made more money, I assume they've made a lot more money. I don't know. They've got, like, 8 reality shows, I would hope. And they've been influential. So, like, sure, man. Like, if you want to die on that hill, like, it was amazing to me seeing the conversation break out on Twitter. It was like, it was such a nothing, and it turned into a heated battle to the end. So, I'm going to make a Netflix documentary, a 10-parter on this. I'm going to interview all parties about it.
We got to start doing this on Twitter. I mean, I try sometimes, but we just got to throw out like these wild takes and then just blow up with them. What can we come up with that, you know, the people on Twitter can be like, oh my God, you're ridiculous. But you can like make an argument for it.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Original deathmatch dealer, Luther, greater than the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
That's not an argument, though. That's fact.
Oh, true, yeah. Well, we need to compare him to someone like... what about Absolute Ricky Starks? Who's better, Jeremy? The original deathmatch dealer, Luther, or Absolute Ricky Starks?
Yeah, this is an easy one. What has Ricky Starks ever done? Has he main evented Dynamite? I think he has, actually.
yeah, he died in that match.
Yeah, yes, he did.
Yeah. Him and Luther had very different main event experiences, but the end result was still similar.
Has Ricky Starks gone to Japan and gotten blown up? I don't think so. What has Ricky Starks actually done?
Oh, gotten blown up literally, you mean? I thought you'd make it a commentary on Fantasia. I was going to say, that's a bit tough. I don't know, man. I mean, we need to figure this out. This is what the people need to help us on. We're not as good at this gimmickry that people do on Twitter, right? Like, I never would have thought, oh, the Bellatons are coming back. Let's bury the Young Bucks. I'm not clever enough. I'm not smart enough for that. I just make like vowed wrestling media tweets that like 4 people get and enjoy it. That's all I can do at this point. I don't know.
We got to take back the takes for the boys. I think that's what we got to end up doing here.
Okay, is that what we got to do? Yeah, I agree. I mean, that would be something. I am very intrigued by the ongoing dialogue that is certainly sure to calm down soon. Dynamite's been on now for over a year. I'm sure eventually if it will calm down and everyone will just say, you know, those great tweets, just like what you like, guys, insert love heart emoji, it's fine. And then the next day it's like, this sucks, that sucks. Eddie Kingston's a cosplayer.
We're gonna do that. You're gonna do that bit again?
No, absolutely not. Never again. That knocked my internet connection away. That was terrible.
It did. It really did.
Okay, I don't know.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just do your... This goddamn Lakers Celtics deal you want to...
The greatest rivalry in all of sports, the Young Bucks and FTR. That's what the thumbnail on this episode says, right?
Yes. Go where you want to go with this, and I'll try to adjust accordingly.
So the Young Bucks wore Lakers gear, the FTR wore Celtics gear. It was very obvious what they were doing at full gear. I had people in my mentions, Joseph, Mr. Wrestling NBA crossover, saying it's a reach, it's a stretch, it's presumptuous to think this is a thing, and then it was a thing. What I want to know is why the hell did they do it? What sense did any of this make? The Young Bucks are Clippers fans, all right? They're sellouts is what the Young Bucks are. Here's one thing you will never say about the Bella Twins. They didn't sell out. They did it all on their own, Joseph. They didn't, you know, they built up their own brands. They didn't say, oh, we like beer, we're going to go into wine. We don't actually like wine, but we're going to go into wine. We're a beer fan. The Young Bucks, they're Clippers fans wearing Lakers colors. Could you imagine? Joseph, would you be caught dead in Raptors colors? Huh?
No, absolutely not. No, I understand. The problem with this bit, Jeremy, is we've already explored it off-air in pretty good detail, but I'm willing to do it if you'd like to. From what I can gather, the idea was that at the feigned height of such rivalry, the Lakers represented Showtime and Flash and Hollywood, whereas the Boston Celtics were basketball fundamentals. You know, they were gritty, they were tough. That was the perception. I'm not saying it was the reality, that was the perception. And that is the description of both tag teams, I believe, Jeremy. Now, it was awful presumptuous of you to see the colours they were wearing and obviously make a link to the clear parallel they were drawing. But I really don't think anything more to that. It does not surprise me that a Clippers fan would care so little, though.
Did the Celtics steal everybody's moves? Did they steal everybody's playstyle like the FTR and the Young Bucks did? Did the Lakers steal the playstyle? Who'd the Lakers model their playstyle after as the Showtime Lakers?
Well, you're being very mean now, and you're trying to
trying to add some life to this bit, okay?
It's a dead bit. I mean, it's the truth of it is you made an obvious point that somehow was disagreed with But then you were proven correct, and you are not happy with the validation that you were given.
Right.
The vindication.
Yes.
You've decided that it will be the leading bit for this podcast, even though we have nothing to say about it whatsoever. Not a single thing do I have to say about it.
I'm taking back bits for the boys, all right? I'm just here to pop myself. That's all I'm doing.
Okay. As long as you gimmick it, I'm fine with that. But I just...
It's always gimmicks.
I don't know. I don't know what you want me to say. I mean, it's like... It is dumb, yes, they wore Lakers gear as Clippers fans, but like, what's the Clippers equivalent of such a rivalry? And what are they possibly going to wear?
Clippers and... I was going to say Warriors. Like, that's a... I don't think the FTR, the Warriors, though.
They also, like, intended to win. Like, the Clippers, God bless them, they're not known for winning very much.
Well, the Young Bucks should pick a better basketball team to root for, says the Thunder fan.
Yeah, here we are, raising our fists. But no, I don't know. I thought it was a fun little nod. I mean, it's dumb in the sense that it's obviously cooperative before the bell even rings. Like, it's not a coincidence, so it's dumb immediately. But, like, I've told wrestling's not even real, so should I be bothered about that, Jeremy?
I thought it was a fun nod. I just think the Young Bucks are sellouts. That's it. That's my entire point.
That's the whole bit.
Yeah.
I'll do what you want me to do, okay? Here's what, okay? Jeremy, you were 100% correct, and you were ahead of the curve on this. You saw what no one else saw in knowing that this was a Lakers-Celtics bit, and you should be incredibly proud of yourself, not only for that, but for then extending the bit with your ongoing joke about their Clipper fandom. Be proud, be happy, be content, be gleeful at your work. You deserve more credit than you get. Happy? Is that good?
Thank you. You're like the second sweetest person ever to me. I appreciate that.
Yes. Well, I now would like someone to do a super chat and give me a similar compliment. That's what I would like, to be honest. But, you know, whatever.
All right, everybody. Send in a super chat and give a very nice compliment to Joseph. All right? Can we do that for Joseph?
Why has no one asked me yet for my address so they can send their Christmas gifts my way? I was told this show... I was told Fightful Podcast Christmas gifts. That's what I was told. I'm waiting, guys.
Who told you we were getting Christmas gifts?
The boys. The boys told me. That was what I was getting this for. Oh. I wasn't getting it for exposure or content's sake. Christmas gifts.
I didn't tell you this.
No, you didn't. Someone should have, though. I mean, someone should have warned me it wouldn't happen. It seems increasingly like no one's sending me a Christmas gift during a pandemic sending that across the world. Yeah, there you go. I don't know.
Send it overseas to you. Do we have any more wrestling to talk about? Can we finally talk about some basketball? The real important stuff in the world today? Is there any wrestling you would like to talk about? Do you want to talk about Honor? Honor is real? Want to talk about that?
I haven't watched that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
There's an Impact special this week on Impact Plus that I definitely have and you don't.
What do you mean a special?
They're doing Turning Point. It's not like a big pay-per-view. It's like an Impact Plus special. Oh.
Is that the Gallows and the Anderson finally going to wrestle the North on that show?
Yes.
Okay. I may watch it, probably.
Do you care who shot Johnny Bravo?
No. Okay. I never cared about Johnny Bravo. I mean, God bless him, but I don't...
That was a good cartoon. I did like the cartoon.
Oh, yeah. But the Impact Wrestling manager, I just... Impact's weird, man. I really tried to be on that team for a while, but boy, it's tough. It's just difficult, right?
Yeah, you were on Impact and you went Victor Oladipo, like right in front of Scott D'Amore's face. You're like, hey, yeah. You were talking to Tony, TK. I was like, TK, I can get some shots up with you, right? And D'Amore is just standing there like, you're on our team. What is happening here?
That story's wild, right? I guess we should just do basketball because I haven't got anything. I don't know if the chat has anything. But the chat may have no say about wrestling. I don't because I have no clue. But I'm willing to go to
basketball. I'm going to replace you with somebody in the chat.
By go to basketball, I actually mean allow you to discuss Russell Westbrook while I sit and grimace. That's what I actually mean. So go ahead.
Russell Westbrook wants to be traded out of Houston 1 year. I mean, over a year, but 1 year after being traded to Houston because he wanted to play with his BFF, James Harden. And then after a year of playing with his BFF, James Harden, he got tired of watching his BFF, James Harden, stand around and dribble the basketball for 23 seconds before jacking up a step back three. I can't believe that Russell Westbrook, who just likes to attack and likes to have the ball in his hands and likes to, you know, move and do things with the ball, just got tired of this man dribbling for 23 seconds before jacking up a step back three. Russell Westbrook is going to the Philadelphia 76ers, Joseph. And I cannot wait until he is on your team. I'm going to root for him. I'm always rooting for Russ. That's my guy.
he's so going to be a Charlotte Hornet, and we both know it.
And I'm actually...
he's got no... let me tell you something, okay? I have no issue with the Russell Westbrook. He has got nerve being like, yeah, I'd like to get out of Houston. Huh? I'm sure they'd like to get rid of you too, Russ. I don't know what the deal is. Like, look, I never want to be the guy that's like, he's a loser and stuff. But there were moments during this past postseason where Russell Westbrook appeared to be like legitimately in the middle of a breakdown. It was terrifying. The one we talked about on here where he was playing you guys, and at the end of the game, he just like pulled up for a mid-range, shot an air ball, and just like put his head in his hands. It was okay. Here's my question for you. We were talking about this via text. Tell me the team he goes to that's already good that he would be like, okay, now they're going to win the championship. You could confidently say that about. Because I have not got one.
Could he go to the Clippers and put them completely over the top? So I think the rumor that's out there is like Montrez on a side in trade, Beverly, and then somebody else for Westbrook. So then you got the three of Westbrook, Kawhi, and George. I have no idea who else is on that team, but you have those three.
The thing is like one of the Clippers' big issues is they're a franchise that has no like winning culture, and their leader is a guy who, while he has won, he's not like a verbal leader, right? Like, is Russell Westbrook the answer to such a
problem? I actually think like Westbrook is an answer in that locker room. Because, all right, Westbrook, we know his flaws, hasn't won, all this stuff. He's been in the finals, all right? You can't take that away from him. The things he did in Oklahoma City, like, those teams were way better, especially his MVP year. Like, that team was way better than it had any right to be. Nobody talks about Westbrook as, like, a bad teammate. Like, everyone who's played with him says, like, I love playing for this guy. He's very passionate. He is a leader, and he does, like, make things better. It's just on the court, he's Russell Westbrook. But, like, in the locker room and stuff, everyone seems to really like him. And I think if he stepped up... because I don't know if you read the Athletic article, but apparently there was, like, a big scene in January where... the Rockets lost, and Westbrook was in the locker room, like, trying to hold everybody accountable, including himself. Like, Westbrook, all his faults, the guy's going to be accountable for himself. Can't just on the court, he's Russell Westbrook. But he was trying to hold everybody accountable, and a lot of players were receptive to it, outside of James Harden, who was probably just like, whatever, just let me take my step back threes and shut the fuck up.
Sure. But, like, you're Matt Jackson, okay? Big LA Clippers fan. And you are
it's
about
the meanest
to go
thing
out
you've
for
ever
a,
said to me.
For a rare, in fact, the first ever conference finals for them, right? That would be, if they got to conference, it would be their first ever, I believe. Right? I don't think they got that far.
Yeah, I believe so.
And you look at your lineup and you see Paul George and Russ, and you're like, yeah, we need to rely on those guys to deliver in this spot. you know how that feels. I mean, you experience the evidence that makes me very concerned about such a thing. The thing with Russ is, it's like, there's a team you can build where he's super fun, but that team has such an obvious ceiling, right? So then it becomes, okay, can he fit into, like, a top-heavy team, which is what the Clippers would be. And I just don't know. It's probably the best one of all the options, right, would we say?
Westbrook in Milwaukee.
Hey, man. This that fit with Giannis is filth. We can't do that.
Why not?
Because the whole deal with them is they literally, their whole offense is stand around and wait for Giannis to get greeted by four men. He'll kick it out, and then Westbrook would say, "Oh, cool. Now let me drive into those four men too." It would just be, it would not be good. I don't feel
it would be similar to Houston in that if Westbrook can get into the free throw line and attack. Like, Westbrook was very good in Houston until the bubble when he had injuries and he had COVID and everything. He just kind of fell apart. But, like, from January until, really, December, until things shut down, like, Westbrook was better than Harden in Houston. Even Houston fans said this.
I agree, yeah, but the problem is then what is the... He was unlocked by the fact that they did the whole, like, you know, we have no center deal, right?
Yeah.
And it
But Milwaukee can do that, though, because Brook Lopez can stretch out.
They have Giannis. Like, he's basically their center, effectively.
Yeah. But you know, if Giannis is willing to do, like, pick and roll, I'm talking myself into Westbrook.
You're in the gym and you just try to convince yourself this is a thing. It's incredible.
I want Westbrook to win a title so bad, and I'll be much more happier if it's not in Houston. Because I was rooting for him. I didn't want it to happen in Houston, because fuck that team. But I want Westbrook to win a title so bad. Here's my pitch. First off, Jobber JJ says, Joe's a bigger star than he thinks. Joe thinks he's the biggest star in the friggin' world, so...
Speaking of such, Fight TV, like, what is the deal? You're flirting with me on Twitter. You follow me. Everyone says you follow everyone. I want codes. Can you let me do one of those competitions where I say, follow this account, follow that account, retweet this, retweet that, I'll give you a code. Can you please? Everyone watching this tweet Fight TV is all I want. I want none of all this, you know, Joe, you deserve better. Oh, you're the best writer in the history of the world, Joe. I don't need any of it. Just give me Fight TV codes, please. I don't even have to share them. Just give them to me. Good Lord.
Why don't we have Fight TV codes, by the way?
We haven't got a blue tick. That's it. Every blue ticker, it's like any event in the world comes in, it's like, next week, here it is. Follow me. Follow this dipshit. Follow that dipshit. I don't care. Let me be a dipshit. I'll be a dipshit. Let me do a code for the Eddie Kingston event next week. That's good for my brand. Okay, that fits my brand.
Yeah, you should be the only person giving out codes for the Eddie Kingston bit. Like, nobody else should be allowed to give out those codes.
I agree, and I don't think... You know, they send those tweets out, right? Those little cute tweets, like, you know, who is your favourite wrestler? And yesterday, they was like, who is your inspiration for wrestling? And I said the honest answer, Jeremy. I said, Fight TV code competition. That is my inspiration for wrestling. That's all I want. That's my dream. And they just keep... They're like, yeah, we'll like this tweet. We'll follow... More DMs. Come on, let's go.
The full super chat is Joe is a bigger star than he thinks. Bigger star than Sean. You have great takes on wrestling, and Eddie Kingston is the GOAT and future AEW champion. That's not like super complimentary towards Joe. You're just more complimentary towards Eddie Kingston.
That really encapsulates my brand in many ways, doesn't it? Yeah, that was not a great... You should have told me that before I did the whole bit about promoting his own event. You should have told me, because I wouldn't have done that. Okay. Thank you very much. Anyway, I appreciate it.
Here's my trade offer. Russell Westbrook for Steven Adams and Andre Robertson. Who says no?
Okay. I actually want this to happen now. This is what you deserve. You deserve to just have more fun with Russ, and you can grim wired, yeah. And we'll have fun.
We're rolling out a lineup of Westbrook, Paul, he's staying. We're just going to keep him. Why would we trade
him? Shay at the four. Right?
Yeah, Shea at the four, Schroeder at the... I guess Russ would play the small forward. Chris Paul at shooting guard. Dennis Schroeder at point guard. Shea at the four. And then Baisley or Dort at center. Because I think Gallo's probably gone. So we go Baisley or Dort at center.
Okay. That would be tremendous. Yes, you should do this. I was amazed. And so some of my friends... Like, I saw Andrew Thompson. Andrew, if you're listening to this, I'm very angry with you. You do not want Russell Westbrook to be a Cav. Please don't do this. Don't do it. You don't need this. It sounds fun. Yeah, just win 40 games and have some fun. Don't do it. Just please commit to what you need to do, which is tank, get a lot of picks, and try to get good again.
Russell Westbrook and Andre Drummond? He's still on the Cavs, right? He's on the Cavs, I think.
Well, there's talk they don't want to give him the deal he wants, which is incredible.
Anytime you can pay Andre Drummond a max deal, I feel like you got to do it.
We all knew that, and they traded for him.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess, I don't know if they give up a lot, though, so maybe it's
I don't think they gave up, like, anything for him.
Westbrook, Love, Drummond, big three, baby.
I mean, I'd be fine with Westbrook in Cleveland. I'd be in Ohio soon, so I'll catch a bunch of games.
It's not that, like, I understand the reason for it, right? Like, there's something to be said for trying to be competitive and having a good, like, a fun team.
Yes, I'll take it.
It's just short-sighted, though, isn't it? Like, you need to just commit to being bad, I feel. It's such a clear ceiling for a Westbrook team. Like, you know that. You've lived it. You don't need to convince yourself otherwise, dude. I don't know. I saw, like, Magic fans, like, yeah, here we go.
I did see...
Bitch.
I'll throw John Alba under the bus. John Alba was, like... Yeah, Westbrook in Orlando. That would be great.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tarp John Alba. Yeah, Westbrook in Orlando would be great. Like, he'd make them better. They're an eighth seed going nowhere. He'd get them to a sixth seed going nowhere.
He wouldn't even get them to... Because the six in the East... Okay, I'm going to try to do this. This is very hard for me. Bucks.
Milwaukee.
Celtics.
Yep.
Raptors. Nets are now in there, right? Like, you just
probably, yeah.
Guess. Sixers, what are we at? Five?
How about that?
We have five right now?
Yeah.
I get three.
So, who else is there?
I guess
it's not the Pacers,
the
Heat.
Yeah.
Miami.
Oh,
Miami.
The Heat.
Yeah.
Made the finals. Yes.
All right. So, that's seven teams. All right. So, it gets into the seventh seed going nowhere. Gets him one seat higher.
Okay, you're right. Oh, sorry, I was totally wrong. That's a much better move than I realised. Yeah. Seventh seed. Oh, they're unlocked, baby. Let's go. They need to just get. They need to just get rid. They need to start fresh. But someone will do it, and it'll be fun. I guess. Whatever.
I want him to go to the Spurs. That's where I want him to go.
That one is fun, just because you want it to be like a science project with Pop and him, yes. Right? I guess.
Yeah, I've wanted this for years. Like, when there were rumors that Westbrook was going to get traded after the Durant stuff and everything, like, I wanted him on the Spurs just because what does Greg Popovich do with Russell Westbrook?
Not a lot, I'd imagine. I imagine it's pretty bad, but I agree with you, it's fun. The thing is, the West is just like, it's ridiculous, right, at this point. You got to believe it's going to... I mean, I know that they don't want to, like... They seemingly want to retool rather than rebuild. But I don't know. The other thing with Westbrook is... How many years has he got left on his deal?
Two
more. Okay,
three.
That's not as
three.
Bad. Oh,
three. God, yeah, 3 years.
If it was 1 year, it's like, okay, have some fun with Westbrook. 3 years.
Yeah,
he's making like $44 million in the end.
Yeah,
like, it's ridiculous.
I'm pretty sure it's a three-year deal. Because Chris Paul had 1 year... less than Westbrook, and Chris Paul has one guaranteed and then a player option which he's gonna pick up, so
yeah, he's set, like, I'm taking it, right? Yeah. So it's tough, man. I don't think anyone should be doing it, but someone's like gonna do it. So
would you trade Tobias for Westbrook, just straight up?
No, I wouldn't. I honestly would not.
Horford for Westbrook straight up.
But imagine that team. Like, I know it was bad this time, right? Imagine Westbrook, Simmons, and Embiid all like on the same time. It gives the man the shakes. I don't know if I can. Like, at least Al has that funny 3-point shot he has, you know?
Westbrook's got a funny 3-point shot, too.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to shoot it. Horford did this deal in Philly, and Sixers fans would agree that this wasn't funny at the time, but we can laugh about it now. He did this deal where, like, Brett had told him he has to quicken his 3-point shot, and he began to just chuck. Like, he would literally, the ball wouldn't even be in his hands and it would be leaving him. It was incredible. So, I don't know, maybe something like that. I never want to be the guy that's like, oh, Westbrook actually sucks. But at this point, he's very difficult to fit in, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay? he is. I love Russell Westbrook. He is. I would love to see him on, like, the Knicks or the Hornets to just wear, or even the Cavaliers. Like, let him go to a bad team to where he can just put up triple doubles and have a lot of excitement. And stuff. It would be terrible for him. Like, I'd actually feel bad for him to be in that situation, but that's probably the best situation for him right now. I do think it'd be much more fun as an NBA scope. He'd get so lost in those, though. It's like, oh, look what Westbrook did on this Hornets team that's going nowhere. It's way more fun if he's on, like, the Clippers, and it's like, let's all dunk on the Clippers, because here's Paul George going 3-for-14 from three, and Westbrook with some crucial turnovers, and Kawhi just looks like he doesn't know what's going on.
It would be, for definitely for content's sake, that's the one. It seems more likely to me that it'll be the Hornets or something like that, but... Look, man, if his worst-case scenario is he makes $44 million while, like, having a bad team, sure. Like, see, it could be worse, you know?
What do you think of the Chris Paul rumor that's out there with Phoenix?
It's interesting in the sense that, like, sometimes we do get, and I just did it then, but we do get lost sometimes in the idea of, like, unless you're a top contender, you shouldn't try to compete. I definitely understand the idea of the Suns being like, okay, we had a little bit of momentum at the end of the season. Let's get a winning player, a guy who can kind of hide Booker's deficiencies without, like, dominating our team. But at the same time, it's like, what are you giving up? The rumor that I read was not like a, it was a pretty good deal for both teams, I felt, you know?
I loved the trade package.
Yeah, so as long as it's not something ridiculous for the Suns, I think it's a fine deal. Like, the thing is, Rubio did make them better. Right, from what I can gather, like, having an actual point guard did help them, and obviously Chris Paul is that times 10, so sure, man. It's not like the blockbuster move people wanted, I feel, for Chris Paul, but it's fun. It'll be cool.
It's the exact type of move that, as a Thunder fan, I would want for Chris Paul. Like, I don't know what kind of blockbuster is really out there, given money and everything, because OKC doesn't really want a star back in return, because they're not trying to compete, and there's no real star out there, like, straight up. Like, they want picks and they want young players. You get Rubio, who's a nice little point guard, he fits in there, you know, he can keep coaching Shea and everything, But he's not going to dominate the offense as much as like Chris Paul did. Not that Chris Paul like really dominated the offense, but Rubio is obviously lesser than Chris Paul. So Shea can kind of get more touches and reps as the point guard. You get Kelly Oubre, who I think is good, a nice little 3-and-D guy who can do a little bit more than that at times. And he's a young guy as well. You jump up from the 25th pick to the 10th pick. You know, you might be able to package that 10th pick to jump into the top five. They talked about that. So I really like that Suns deal. The thing with OKC is if there's a rumor out there, 99% of that time, they never go that way.
Yeah, I did think that, actually, yeah. I think the truth of it is a lot of people, the blockbuster deals people are thinking of aren't actually blockbuster deals for you guys. It's these sort of... They want him to go somewhere where they can do the big Photoshop deal, right? Where it's right. Like, look at this team next year. Chris Paul and everyone. And that always has seemed unlikely. Like, people love talking about the Lakers thing, and it was always just like...
The Lakers don't have anything to offer.
But with the money, it's not... Like, even if you really like Kyle Kuzma, which I know you don't, like, even with the money, it's tough, right? Because they're going to end up... They'll give up, like, Green, Kuzma. They'll have to trade and sign KCP.
Yeah,
like,
it's literally everyone outside of... It's literally everyone outside of Davis and LeBron. Again, like, this as a Thunder fan just doesn't appeal. I'd rather have Oubre than Kyle Kuzma, and I'd rather have the 10th pick in this draft than a Lakers pick. I don't even know when the Lakers can trade their next pick. So, yeah, I love the Suns deal. I hope it happens. I would be rooting for Chris Paul because it's pretty clear that OKC is going to be not good this year. Like, it's not about this year. So I need like a playoff team to kind of attach to have investment by that point. And if he goes to Phoenix, I already like Devin Booker. I would root for the Suns to, you know, they'll be a sixth seed and out in the first and second round, but that's what I'm used to. So I would root for the Suns.
I agree. I always thought it was most likely that he went to like, I never actually thought with the Suns, but the Bulls always seem kind of likely to me. You know, they want like an actual point guard. And then you got the Knicks is always, they're linked to every player ever. So I always thought it'd be more likely he'd go to a team that wants to be competitive and have some sort of winning culture, but it is a little bit of a shame in the sense that if he makes that move, while it'll be a fun team, it's like, it's not the kind of, you know, oh, he's finally going to get his ring deal that people hoped it'd be, right? But, you know, at this point, it is what it is, right?
I mean, you can only go to so many teams
exactly
with that. Like, there's Milwaukee, but if you're the Thunder and if he's comfortable, they said they're going to try to make him comfortable wherever he goes. If he's comfortable going to Phoenix and they have the best offer, like, you got to do that deal. So we shall see. The draft is when? The 18th? So before our next show, it's like next Wednesday. Is that up against Dynamite in NXT? I'll be watching the draft. I don't care about wrestling.
I believe so. No. Yes, it will be.
Sean, I need that night off. I'm watching the draft.
Here's a question for you, Jeremy. It's crossover ready for anyone that's still with us. Wednesday night wrestling, draft board. Who's the top guy on your list? Top guy or girl on your list?
Moxley. Be Moxley.
Yeah, I was going to try and get cute with it, but I think he is Moxley, right? He's like the biggest star that also is still, you know, not referencing anyone in particular that's got a little bit old recently. Moxley is, he's that guy right now. So,
how are you going to try to get cute with it? Who are you going to go with?
Well, I was going to go, like, you know, Rhea Ripley, the future. But realistically, if you can take Moxley, you take Moxley, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, Ripley's top five, right?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I don't know who... I guess NXT's top guy would be Adam Cole, right? Or Finn. Finn is awesome. It's just we forget because...
Yeah,
Finn.
Well, right now he's injured. He's not out there. Right. So, yeah.
He's not out there. You're doing, like, full basketball. Not out there. Sitting the benches. We need to get O'Neal in here to talk about upsides and athleticism and stuff.
Finn's older, too, you know? I mean, Moxley, I guess, he's a little bit older. But Finn's got the injury history... Moxley just doesn't care. Moxley's more diverse, too. Moxley can throw out there in a regular wrestling match and be fine. He can throw out there and he'll cut people open with barbed wire and stuff. It'll be all right. I think it's Moxley without a doubt, honestly. Like, I think it's pretty consensus.
I didn't expect you to get so passionate about this, man. We should have done a whole show like this. We've made an error here.
Well, anytime we can do wrestling basketball crossover, I ran this Bucks and FTR bit like 10 minutes too long just to talk basketball.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned, but you was correct on that, by the way, Jeremy. That was a Lakers-Celtics thing they were doing there. I know it was very presumptuous of you, but you know, you were correct, just to be clear, everyone. Jeremy was correct on that, to be clear.
Keep following me for more accurate Yeah, AEW, sure. AEW and NBA crossover scoops.
Imagine how good the show would be if there was, like, anything interesting happening in this week for wrestling. Full Gear, we should never review pay-per-views. It killed this program.
Yeah, by the way, if you're wondering... Yeah, if you're wondering, like, why we didn't really talk about Full Gear, it's because we literally did the post-show podcast on Fightful with our pal Gary Cassidy. So, like, all of our takes are on that podcast. We don't really have too much to add to that. So go back and watch that podcast.
We probably should have mentioned that an hour ago. But, you know, who cares? We were too busy talking about the reverse battle royal.
People are saying in the chat, like, Kenny Omega. I mean, yeah, Omega's got... I would take Moxley over Omega.
Here's the thing. I think Kenny Omega's been really good recently, but if I praise him too much, I will then be falling victim to the one thing I never want to do, which is be on the consensus side of things. So, I'm sorry, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to keep quiet about Kenny until he does something bad, and then I'll quickly ramp up my content. He's up there, I just... As a character, I find Moxley would be easier to build around. Right? Omega's higher, though, I would assume. Hangman Page would be pretty high for us.
Yeah, we both love Hangman.
Okay. I mean, I'm trying to think of... NXT's roster's weird, because I actually like a lot of those guys, but...
Pat McAfee would be my top pick.
This is... Okay, I need to go off. Why? There's probably people that are watching this that did this, okay? This insanity that last night while I was sitting there watching AEW Dynamite, people were like, oh my god, an Eddie Kingston promo at the same time as a Pat McAfee promo. What do I do here? What is happening? What are we doing here, folks? I mean, come on, it's all calmed down a little bit. That's all.
Pat McAfee ain't showing up as some cosplay guy, alright? He knows who he is, okay? He's got his little jean shorts on, his little For the Brand t-shirt and everything. He ain't trying to pay tribute to nobody.
Imagine being such a play wrestler that you actually buy gear for your wrestling career. Imagine. Should be a real play wrestler and wear street clothes. He's a street guy. Do you know what? I actually couldn't believe it, Jeremy. Eddie came out on Dynamite and he had a microphone. I was thinking, as a street guy, why would he even use a microphone? Wouldn't he just
yell?
Shout?
Yeah, just yell. I agree. It's a good point.
You need to start thinking about this stuff. Like, why would he buy ring gear and use a microphone? Why would he even show up to work? We should start just doing vignettes from his house. He's a street guy.
Why do you sit there on the commentary table with those
should've
guys?
Stood up. Yeah, should've stood on the table.
Yeah,
yeah. Should have threatened to kill them all as well. I feel.
I think he did
guy.
Threaten to kill a couple of them.
By the way, this is not a report. Ringside news. Okay. Jim Ross definitely told Tony Khan to tell Eddie to leave him alone. I'll bet everything I own. Because Eddie came on and Jim Ross was like, you had a great show. And Eddie's exact reaction was, thank you, Mr. Ross. And then he went straight for Schiavone. There is no way that happened organically. He said something. Jim, we're on to you, okay? I know what happened there.
I hope someone does report that. Distraction host Joe Hulbert says Jim Ross went to Tony Khan and said, please tell Eddie Kingston to leave me alone when he's on commentary this week.
I could get one of those quote tweets from Jim where he does the cowboy hat. Yeah. Emoji, right? Get one of those. It's probably true. I'm sure I'll be informed that it's true in about an hour's time. So don't report it, whatever you do. Do not report it.
Anything else on this show? We tore our format up, you know. That's what we do here.
Our format is in tatters after all the great formats we used to utilize. Next week's a big week because it's the Survivor Series,
is it?
As Bret the Hitman Hart would say.
Are we talking about Undertaker all next week?
No, we're not. I have to now write about the Undertaker.
Yeah, I saw that. Good luck.
Tweet me what you find interesting about the Undertaker in 2020. Be very interested to know, because I am currently tackling together some ideas. Who do I write about Survivor Series to? Help me on that also. I have no clue what to do on that one. The Survivor Series, that's next week. Anything else? No, I don't think so. We are soon to be recording. I will not give away the date of it for kayfabe reasons, Jeremy. But we are soon to be recording our Retro Nitro review, which will be a new monthly deal. We don't review Nitro every month, but we'll be doing an old show, and people should definitely vote for Nitro, because I'll put it in every month. We're going to do that. That'll be on the Select deal soon. So, yeah. Look, there's one thing we can't be accused of, Jeremy. It's leaving the people wanting more. By the time this show ends, everyone's like, I've had enough of these guys. Jesus. They've done their thing. Move on. So, We'll be here doing other stuff and pretending to talk about wrestling.
Do you want to know my favorite thing about The Undertaker in 2020?
Assuming that he is above the line and is nothing that is too risque at this point in the podcast, yes, I do.
Why would it be too risque?
I'm trying to keep the brand on track here, okay? That's all I'm saying.
I like that he does interviews with every single outlet, but he won't return my text messages.
That's tough.
Do you think The Undertaker is ignoring me because I bury his best friend Ricky Starks every week?
Yes, I do actually think that's the case. Do we think Taker's tracking the Ricky Starks progress? Do we think he's like tuning in, talking about Brian Cage and his notes and stuff?
I mean, I don't know why he would track Ricky Starks progress. Like, who really cares? But
okay. The Undertaker. You had one question to The Undertaker. What would it be? Podcast brand in mind.
How difficult was it to pull off that voice on Suburban Commando?
That's really your answer, too. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I haven't even got an answer, so I can't question. I mean, at this point...
My question would be, did you tape your fist and crack your knuckles before... What was the thing before WrestleMania against Steve Austin?
Yeah,
to threaten Shawn Michaels.
That would be so inside. He still passes the question because he would know what you're talking about. Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how people do it. Like, every month is a new one, and it's like, oh, Taker like working with Yokozuna. So. I know. I'm aware. But they get excited. Everyone gets the Phenom, the Dead Man. They throw their arm up. They look behind them. They do the pose with the tongue and all that stuff. Randy Orton cries on documentaries about it. Everyone has a great time, and now I have to write a feature. I have to seek new ideas, fresh concepts.
You are so... Just like the dread and the fear and the... I don't even know. So we're like having to do this feature because, you know, Undertaker, farewell Undertaker. You're gonna have to do this feature again next year. You know that, right?
That's the deal. It's like, it's just so hard not to be cynical about the whole thing, right? Like, he's had so many farewell. I understand that this is like an actual, he's never had a farewell like this, right? Where the show is literally built around him not being there again and he's not wrestling.
But he's gonna be there. He's gonna do his cool entrance in the Thunderdome. Maybe, you know, the pixelated fans will go crazy. Matthew McConaughey, who's not actually Matthew McConaughey, will be there cheering with his two sons and everything.
What did you say?
They had a picture of Matthew McConaughey in the Thunderdome, and like no one knew that it was him. You could not tell this was Matthew. I'm convinced it was not actually Matthew McConaughey. They just put the cryon up there because no one could tell you otherwise. That's what they should do on the Thunderdome, by the way, is be like, Leonardo DiCaprio here in the Thunderdome. And the image is so poor that no one would be like, it's not Leo. They'd just be like, yeah, sure. Why wouldn't it be Leo? He's just hanging out with his new model girlfriend watching the Thunderdome.
I thought you was like uncovering a big story there. I really believe there was something to that. Okay. The Undertaker. You know what I like about The Undertaker, Jeremy? This is a really new point. He was always able to reinvent himself at the time. Did you notice that? Did you notice that out of interest? Because I remember watching the 400th episode of his documentary series, and Bruce Pritchard was like, you know, the thing about Mark is he could always reinvent himself. And I was in my chair and I fell forward in shock because I'd never realised across his 30-year career that The Undertaker reinvented himself. And by reinvent, of course, Bruce means that he once shaved himself into a mohawk.
It came out on a motorcycle.
No, he did. I don't even have... Here's the deal. I'm not even like a guy who's like, Taker actually sucked. Like, I think Taker was good. I just don't know what's left to say. I honestly don't. I mean, everyone just is like, you know, locker room leader, reinvent, motorcycle, Shawn Michaels, storytelling, good night. You know, like, and it's just, I don't know what's left at this point. I don't even like the Shawn Michaels matches particularly. Do you? Are you a big fan of those matches? You strike me like you could really enjoy those.
The WrestleMania matches? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy
They feel like you're...
Yeah.
I could see you kind of grinning at those as a young man. But I mean, they're cool. But he's the Undertaker, right? He does the thing where he's the Undertaker. He comes out.
That's the best description of the Undertaker I've ever heard.
Sometimes you'd be like, go ahead.
That should be the column. I don't know what your title is, but the whole feature is just, he's the Undertaker. He does things that the Undertaker would do.
He's like, sometimes he's like, Vince, I would like to come out to Johnny Cash. And Vince is like, sure. So he does it once, and then Vince is like, can we go back to the Don now, please? And then he's like, I would like to come out to Metallica. And Vince is like, sure. Can we go back to the Dong now? And the only time he got away without the Dong was when he did a match in a boneyard. Boneyard being the key term, because it's definitely not a graveyard. And then the Metallica played and he did the thing. And he looked, and then everyone went, that was the best farewell for the Undertaker ever. You know? And then he was like, I'm now going to do my actual farewell at the Survivor Series. That's going to be the best farewell ever in front of the Skype screens. You know? And he's going to come out, he's going to do the thing where he gets on his knee and he does the tongue. And then what music is he going to come out to? Is he going to be the Johnny Cash?
No, it's got to be the Dong. Gotta be.
The Dong. What about Limp Bizkit?
That would be, I want Dead Man Undertaker coming out to Roland from Rock. Limp Bizkit. I think that'd be fantastic.
Kid Rock too.
Yeah.
Still Kid Rock. And then he's gonna be on his bike and he's gonna drive up to the top of the ramp and he's gonna go like this, he's gonna turn around and, and they'll go big fireworks and everyone will go, what a send off for the Undertaker.
And then he'll be at WrestleMania 37.
And then the Fiend Bray Wyatt will come out with his hammer, hit him over the head, and we'll have a match set for WrestleMania. And we will do the mix tag that I advertised last week of Michelle McCool and Mark Calloway, because he's no longer the Undertaker, as they take on the Fiend Bray Wyatt and his killer clown friend Alexa Bliss. That'll be the WrestleMania main event next year in front of many Skype screens. And then at the end of it, what they'll do is Taker will walk up the ramp with Michelle McCool, and they'll both look behind, they'll go, boom, like, and the firework will go, and everyone will go, what a send-off for The Undertaker and Michelle McCool. Repeat, rinse, repeat, same deal. But good luck to him. I'm going to write a feature of him.
This whole thing started because Sean messaged you and said, can you do an Undertaker feature? And you just went on like a 10-minute sarcastic bit of The Undertaker.
Again, I don't even dislike The Undertaker. I just like when he does the thing where he goes like this and everyone does it. They screenshot and they go, what a send-off for The Undertaker. He left his gloves in the ring. He could never come back.
We should do it right now, Joseph. Let's turn around.
I have literally no room. I can do this, but I can't spin the whole way. I'll destroy myself.
I think
it'll
I can
very bad.
The headphones. I'll take the headphones off, okay?
Okay. Should I announce it? Should I do
what are we doing?
Twitter?
So it's just... You can get down like that. All right, here we go. Turn around.
Fireworks, explosions. Get your screenshots in now. Jeremy, I'm waiting. Jeremy,
was that good? That
was very good. People will screenshot it and they will tweet, what a send off, Jeremy Lamb. The GOAT. Bruce Pritchard will unlock his Twitter account and be like, there he is, folks. The symbol of right and wrong in our industry, The Undertaker. Getting one last send off with his arm up in the air, fireworks going off. I mean, the only question is like, when he does the look behind. Like, will he put his tongue out with it? Because sometimes he does the tongue, and it's really, you know, vivid imagery. But other times, he just sort of glances. In fact, he may actually turn around after the arm already has gone up. I'm not sure. I have to rewatch some tape this week when I do my feature about The Undertaker. Anyway,
are you
gone
good?
For about 20 minutes on this. Yeah. Sorry. I have no problem with this. I'm happy to do it. It will be fun. But I feel this has been a podcast bit worth doing, so here we are. I'm sorry.
Your reflections on The Undertaker lasted longer than his career.
Sure, that's impossible. That's not happening. But I just like it. I do like it when he walks up the ramp and he puts it off and he turns around. So I'm sorry, that's what I like, okay? I also like when he does it, when he lifts his arms up and the lights all go and he does the eyes thing, you know? I like that one too. He has loads of good ones. I like the tongue. I do like the tongue. The kneel, the tombstone thing. I like when a guy stands over him in the corner and punches him and then he last rides him. You know? I like that one. And then at the end of it, of course, he walks up the ramp and he does the... And he pulls his straps down. The straps go down as well. The straps go down, the arm goes up. What a set. Chilling, says Michael Cole. That's chilling. The Phenom. Jim Ross is talking about his years as a power forward in college. Incredible times. Baron Corbin tweets that's his inspiration right there. Alexa Bliss tweets hashtag locker room leader. Nia Jax tweets hashtag this business. That's it. That's all she tweets. Doesn't need any more. It says it all. What a send off for The Undertaker. Amazing.
You good? You good? Okay. Everyone.
I'm done. Bruno.
Okay. I don't even know. Look, we'll be back on Tuesday. I don't know. We're reviewing pro wrestlers versus zombies. Everyone follow Joseph on Twitter.
Yeah, who's a zombie?
No.
And he walks up the ramp, he swings his heart in the air, and he gets a big send off.
I'm going to tweet The Undertaker. I need an open invite to Matt Hardy and Kurt Angle to come on the show to talk about pro wrestlers versus zombies. And I'll also tag The Undertaker. I just assume he's in the film as one of the zombies. Do you think we could get the zombie for this film, pro wrestlers versus zombies?
Why does she think the zombie will be he'll be at the tribute at this time? He'll be there live next Sunday. He'll be there live to see The Undertaker when he walks up the ramp and swings his arm up in the air and everyone says, what a farewell for The Undertaker. I think the zombie will actually be there for that. But I hope so.
You can follow me on Twitter at JeremyLambert88. I don't know what we're doing anymore. I don't know, everybody. Go to Fightful.com. Sign up to Fightful Select. All that fun stuff. We'll talk to y'all later.